Thanks a lot again for coming for the today's session, which is the final presentation of work done by the students of School of Planning, Queen's University, Canada. We have shared, also I would like to inform those who are here, we are happy to have among us, other than many other Williams, our secretary, Mr. Chundar, is up here. And we also have two planners from Pondicherry Planning Department, those who also can go. They are also here. And many other people, those who gave their inputs while the students were interacting and working on this project. I'll make a short introduction, then I will hand it over to Megan. She is the project manager. She will introduce themselves as well as the work, and then we'll take it up from there. This quite sets up the tone of the larger context within which we are living and working. So, in order to live with harmony with ourselves as well as with the surrounding population, it is an act of yoga. It is not less than that. So just a quick background and the intent. So this work is an offering, a topic of relevance which could be helped with planning inputs. That is the why this work is chosen, how this is done. It is done in the spirit of collaboration. This is a small entity which I help coordinate. This is the name of planning school from Queen's University. And a large number of honorable resource persons, those who have been coming. This is the fourth year this university has been coming here and offering their contribution in terms of work to the cause and topic which is relevant to Oroville. This is also an experimentation and testing a model of Oroville as a learning society. Meaning, could Oroville develop a learning and work system where young energy from the world could plug in? We have so many issues, so many aspects to be worked upon as a society. Many times we don't have the manpower, willingness, availability to work on all of this. In the last 15 years, Oroville has developed a fantastic model of reaching this point. But from now onwards, our layer of complexity, development, governance is going through a very different phase. So it is an effort, if we can work out a model and test it, that we are ready, we prepare the ground, and we have people like these young people from all over the world. They can come and plug and give inputs or work towards it. This is the fourth year. You will see what work they have done. Also, it's a possible way to bring our own talent, skill, and resources together. When they work, they interact with wide-ranging background people in our world. So that also helps us, like this particular topic is also about how different entities in this field are working and how they can be brought together. This year's key purpose is proactively bring this crucial and interlinked theme, village development within Green Belt is the theme. If you bring this theme on planning and development agenda with renewed focus and share seed inputs as stimulation in the form of a framework. This year's theme is this. It is up to all of us here, take it further, refine and apply in our own context. Just a quick background to some of you, those who may not be aware. So we are in a very special context. This is special shape area is Pondicherry. We also have a pocket of Pondicherry here, which was taken as a focus area. This is Oroville. So we are quite surrounded from three sides by Pondicherry and Tamil Nadu. Oroville technically falls in five different panchayats. Predominantly, there are two panchayats, Irumbai and Gomayapalya, which have the largest share, but technically we have five panchayats where Oroville area falls. There are also six villages, which is on the western side of Green Belt, with a cumulative population last, I think this was the year 2011 census count, which we got from Morris, approximately 13,000, which by now would have been 15 plus, is it? Just to continue the thread, how the work was happening, We had Auroville Master Plan 2001. Auroville also worked on integral sustainability platform, where other than all the sectors, there was an element of village also. There was a Green Belt Master Plan which was prepared with the help of TDC and few efforts on the regional plan. Auroville has been making these efforts. Latest being, there was a work done Way Forward Auroville Retreat. Some of you might have seen the latest website by them. Within that, there was a theme, land and planning. Even there, one can find it. These are the resolution Auroville came up with. Bioregional co-development, many of these points were there. So Auroville has been consistently following its own commitment and engagement with the surrounding villages. And it has been coming again and again in our development agenda. Recently what we have found, Christo is here. So Lavalier and TDC subgroups, the on-ground efforts they have been doing. They have been signing MOUs with some panchayats locally in order to take the development work further ahead. So these are very positive developments which have been happening. Some of you may know this, I'm just sharing with the last slide from my side. In year 2000, 2001, there was International Gas Union Competition. They gave a challenge to all the leading cities in the world to simulate, to develop an idea, what would be the future of urban areas after 100 years. India has a planning policy which we tend to see only 5 years. Many countries have like this. They thought, what would be the future of urbanization and use of energy? Any development is linked with energy also. For many things we need energy. So there was a very special competition which was held. People came over different kind of modeling. There was a one Goa model which got the second prize in this competition, which was a leading competition all over the world. The model which they came up with, they took Goa as an example. This was an Indian team which got this award. Their model was taking the example of Goa. They came up with the concept of a fine balance between urban and rural, and the term was coined as rurban. Many of you will find this term being caught many times all over the world now, also in India, the fine balance between urban and rural composition. One of the leading members of this was also Mr. Aroma Revi, who also helped us with the different documentation on Auroville as well as retreat. This is it from my side. I'll pass it on to Megan. She is the project manager on behalf of students, and they will take it up from here.
Good afternoon. My name is Megan Rabideau. I am the project manager of our team of 12 postgraduate planning students from Queen's School of Urban and Regional Planning in Kingston, Canada. For the past 3 months, we've been working remotely in collaboration with Lalit Bahati of the Auroville Integral Sustainability Institute and under the supervision of Dr. Ajay Argwal to prepare a growth management framework for settlements in the Auroville Greenbelt. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been working intensely to complete our fieldwork here in Auroville and finalize our findings. Myself and two of our team members, Peter and Joanna, will be sharing with you today the findings of our research and the growth management framework that we have developed. Before we go any further, I'd like to invite the team to introduce themselves and their backgrounds. So as I said, my name is Megan. My undergraduate degree was in environmental geography, and I have experience with regional planning policy.
I'm Peter. My undergraduate experience is in neurosciences, and I have experience in corporate real estate investments.
Hi, my name is Joanna. My undergraduate degree is in environmental science, and I have experience in agricultural policy planning.
My name is Michael. My undergraduate degree was in journalism, and I have experience in policy planning and parks planning.
Hi, my name is Laurel. I do my undergraduate degree in geography, and I have experience in health policy planning.
My name is Janella. I did my undergrad in urban studies, and I have an experience in municipal planning.
Hi, my name is Anna. I did my undergrad in sociology, and I have experience in age-friendly planning. Hi, my name is Sarah. I did my undergrad in environmental science, and I have experience in land use planning.
My name is Miles, and my undergrad was in criminal justice and public policy. My work experience is in land use and development review.
Hi, I'm Phil. I have my undergraduate degree in history and education, and I have experience in Chinese planning implementation.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. My undergraduate degree is in political science, and I have experience in federal policy planning.
I'm Alex. I did my undergraduate degree in geography and music, and I have experience with corporate real estate investments.
Thank you.
So the following is an outline of this afternoon's presentation. I will first introduce our project and the problems that it seeks to address. Joanna will then briefly overview our research methodology and findings. Peter and Joanna together will outline the possible solutions we have identified based on our research. And finally, I will describe how this framework should be implemented moving forward. There will be time for questions and comments following our presentation. To begin, greenbelts are a popular urban growth management tool. They offer the opportunity to restrict growth to already built up urban areas while preserving undeveloped or agricultural land surrounding city centers. The creation of successful greenbelt policy involves thorough implementation strategies, building consensus between various stakeholders, and oftentimes political coordination over large geographic areas. The town of Oroville has implemented a greenbelt to ensure that a holistic approach to land development is followed. Oroville's built-up core is surrounded by a 1,500-hectare greenbelt. Officially designated as a greenbelt in 2001, the prospective master plan outlines the following three land use designations to be allowed within the Oroville greenbelt, as indicated on the map of the screen: farming and agriculture, forestry and regeneration, and recreation. Currently, the Oroville Foundation owns approximately 25% of the greenbelt lands, presenting a challenge for greenbelt preservation. Further, the greenbelt encompasses several village settlements within the state of Tamil Nadu and the Union Territory of Puducherry. These settlements are not under Oroville's planning jurisdiction. They operate under their own systems of governance and the leadership of a panchayat. Since development inside Oroville is regulated, private developers often misuse the property rights of residents within these greenbelt settlements for developments such as hotels, housing, and restaurants. The challenges facing the Oroville bioregion involve multiple stakeholders, each with different and often conflicting interests. The problems to be addressed by the current report must be defined from both the Oroville and greenbelt resident perspectives. The Oroville community presents a unique perspective balancing holistic development efforts with spiritual progression and realizing human unity. Oroville seeks to find a way to enforce greenbelt conservation efforts on privately owned lands. They must work to develop stronger relationships with greenbelt residents in order to discourage unsustainable developments while protecting valuable water sources and agricultural land. On the other hand, greenbelt residents prioritize a different set of concerns than Orovillians. Many local residents face a lack of long-term economic security, aside from selling their property, providing tourism services, and participating in the handicraft industry. As a way to meet their immediate needs, greenbelt residents often sell their land to external developers. These developers build without regard for community character or heritage. In response to these challenges, our project proposes a growth management framework for settlements in the Oroville Greenbelt. The framework offers possible solutions to the current problems in the Oroville Greenbelt from both the Oroville and Greenbelt resident perspectives, as well as outlines required steps for implementation. Completing the steps included in this growth management framework will allow Oroville to ultimately develop and implement an effective growth management strategy for the Greenbelt. Such a growth management strategy is intended to eventually become part of Oroville's Greenbelt Development Plan, which is currently under review. The framework that we have developed was developed to achieve the following objectives: to develop measures to preserve greenbelt lands for the intended uses outlined in the prospective master plan, to develop measures to manage developments within the greenbelt on privately owned lands, and to facilitate a collaborative and mutually beneficial planning relationship between Oroville, village, and state planning authorities. Joanna will now share our research methodology.
Thanks.
So in order to effectively prepare this strategy, our team has employed the following research methods over the last 4 months. Our methods include a policy and document review, a detailed examination of international Greenbelt case studies, and we conducted interviews and focus groups. Documents we have reviewed are listed here. So this includes the Oroville Charter, Oroville Foundation Act, Prospective Master Plan, and Greenbelt Development Plan, as well as government planning policies such as the Puducherry and Tamil Nadu Town and Country Planning Acts. Growth management tools that were reviewed included environmental protection strategies such as conservation authorities, environmental impact assessments, buffers, and water carrying capacity analysis. Additionally, we looked at financial incentives and strategies, including land purchasing, purchase of development rights, impact fees, land value taxation, and land leasing. Lastly, we looked at non-financial incentives and strategies, such as transfers of development rights, public consultations, and workforce training. Additionally, 6 detailed international Greenbelt case studies have been conducted to study long-established Greenbelts around the world and to identify lessons for Oroville. The case studies we reviewed include Seoul, South Korea, Wellington, New Zealand, the Sao Paulo Greenbelt Biosphere Reserve, the Greater Golden Horseshoe Growth Plan and Greenbelt Plan, Ottawa's National Capital Greenbelt, and Portland's Urban Growth Boundary. Finally, interviews and focus groups have allowed us to gain knowledge of what local stakeholders would prefer to see in a growth management framework for the Greenbelt. We completed 6 Skype interviews in Canada and 10 interviews during our time in Oroville. Interviewees included Oroville planners such as Christo, Sorrow, and Jurgen, and village resource persons such as the Oroville Village Action Group and Mohana. We also completed 2 focus groups with Oroville planners and village leaders. Additionally, we attended and observed a village visioning workshop and toured the village of Alankupam. From our interviews and focus groups, we were able to identify 8 common themes, including Greenbelt awareness, Greenbelt management and research, environmental initiatives, real estate, future growth, agriculture, economic and social sustainability of villages, and relationships. Each of these themes we are able to break down into sub-themes, and we use these as a basis for our proposed growth management framework. So next, Peter and I will identify and explain possible solutions categorized in market-based, land use, social, and environmental that can be used as a framework to create the growth management strategy. Peter will begin with possible solutions based on market-based solutions.
Thank you, Joanna. Land parcels not under Oroville's possession are subject to market forces, such as the area's revitalization and increased tourism to Oroville. This has led to an increase in Greenbelt area land value and real estate speculation. These market-based solutions address Oroville's ability to secure and manage land parcels in the surrounding area. The first solution is a land exchange program. A land exchange occurs when two parties agree to swap 2 parcels of similar value and quality. Greenbelt residents looking for long-term investments swap their parcels for Oroville-owned lands outside the Greenbelt. This is a win-win scenario as Oroville transfers existing assets for Greenbelt assets while the resident gets more suitable lands for their purposes. Moving forward, Oroville should engage in as many land exchanges as possible. The Land Board and Oroville Foundation could conduct outreach programs to inform local residents about the possibility of a land exchange. More land exchanges are more win-win opportunities for all parties within the bioregion. Next, land leases are a form of rental agreements that permit the tenant to occupy a portion of land in exchange for a rent sum. In India, land leasing is a common tool used in the agricultural industry to ensure the land is being exercised to its full potential. Currently in Oroville, land leasing is a less commonly used tool. It is utilized in an as-needed basis. Interviews reveal that some arable land is sitting fallow. This creates a negative perception among local residents because they're less willing to sell land to Oroville to let it stay vacant. Oroville's unused lands are also facing encroachment issues with neighboring parcels. This creates conflict and ambiguity with regards to land ownership. leasing practices can be utilized as a form of growth management. Firstly, Oroville should fence around purchased lands to help deter encroachment and protect ownership. Next, Oroville can consider peppercorn leasing. Peppercorn leasing is a practice of leasing owned land for a very low fee. The tenants can use the land in his the tenant can use the land to his or her utility, while Oroville can control the development on the parcel, provide more utility for the region, and stay protected from encroachment. Finally, leaseback agreements should be utilized. The offer to leaseback land to original tenants can help Oroville maximize the use of the land, build relationship with the original inhabitants, and maintain utility within the bioregion instead of take it away. Transfer of development rights programs encourage voluntary transfer of growth from places the community would like to protect to places where it is planned to have higher density. State planners of Puducherry are currently in the process of amending their Town and Country Planning Act to include the use of TDR programs. Tamil Nadu State has already amended their Town and Country Planning Act to incorporate the use of TDRs in the form of Development Rights Certificates, or DRCs. DRCs can be purchased and transferred to another person. DRCs enable developers to increase floor space index in their developments. We would like to note that currently neither state allows for the use of TDR programs within Oroville's Greenbelt area. In the future, when the Greenbelt area is permitted to use TDRs, Oroville can use it as an effective growth management strategy. While Oroville would not directly benefit from holding DRCs or permit higher density within their city boundaries, Oroville, as a local municipality, can benefit from facilitating DRC transactions. Oroville could possibly leverage funds from the Oroville Foundation to purchase development rights within the Greenbelt, bank these DRCs, and then sell these DRCs in a public bidding process to developers who are interested in developing higher areas such as Chennai. The funds from the bidding process can be reinvested into purchasing further development rights and effectively manage growth, while compensating local residents. Direct purchase is the most commonly used method of growth management. The land title from a selling resident is purchased by the Oroville Foundation. The Oroville Foundation has acquired significant amounts of land in the Greenbelt through this practice. Moving forward, aside from continuing this practice, Oroville will benefit from having more special interest projects. The success with the Green Acres project should be replicated because it creates more meaningful fundraising and landowners are more willing to sell land to interest projects that would benefit the entire bioregion. Oroville can also benefit from a tracking initiative to record all transactions within Greenbelt. Tracking land values and other variables such as proximity to Oroville, proximity to roads, arability, can provide the land board with additional data points to more accurately estimate land values, real estate trends, as well as year-to-year inflation. Lastly, Oroville can also benefit from right of first refusal understandings with residents. Oroville could reach out to all the residents in the Greenbelt and request for them to approach Oroville before approaching other interested parties when they have reached a decision to sell the land. First refusal rights can help Oroville prioritize purchases in certain valuable areas and sensitive areas.
So next I'll be talking about some land use-based solutions. So having a thorough understanding of current land uses and anticipated growth trends in Oroville and the Greenbelt region can be achieved by using population projections, infrastructure assessments, and mapping. Population projections are important to understand how and where growth will occur in a community. This information will provide for better servicing of utilities, infrastructure, institutions, and housing. Currently, Oroville does not have a population projection method because it has different mechanisms of that drive growth based on intangible social values, opposed to market factors such as employment and land value. The 2011 Census of India provides detailed data on the Greenbelt settlements to make fairly accurate population projections, which could be used for understanding growth of the region. Moving forward, Oroville should complete water, land, employment, and housing surveys to better inform strategies on resource availability. Using the survey results, Oroville should conduct a carrying capacity analysis. Due to Oroville's unique social context, this would provide a stronger analysis than a typical population projection. This will highlight what resources are available to determine where prioritization is needed. Infrastructure is important for providing essential community services, such as drinking water, solid waste management, power supply, and transportation. Currently, Oroville faces a variety of challenges in each of these areas. Firstly, there is lack of access to drinkable water for the general population of the Greenbelt due to improper solid waste and sewage infrastructure in the Greenbelt settlements. Oroville's plan to receive a large water purification plant and continues to encourage sustainable household water uses. Secondly, solid waste management is being addressed through community initiatives with the Village Action Group and Mohana. Additionally, concern has been expressed about the location of the electrical services in the Greenbelt and the lack of available data. Lastly, the presence of a main road leading towards Oroville has resulted in increased traffic. Oroville planners have already been lobbying the state government to create a bypass to alleviate traffic and safety concerns. Moving forward, tourism studies to understand tourist impacts on infrastructure should be conducted. The increase in tourism in recent years has put a strain on existing infrastructure. In order to plan for future tourism trends, visitor counts and other tourism studies should be conducted. This information can be used to identify future economic growth trends in the region. Infrastructure surveys to locate, manage, and detail water wells and electrical lines to reference for future growth should be completed. In order to sustain future generations, current water wells should be identified. Additionally, the extent of electrical lines in the region should be mapped with the long-term goal of improving electricity supply to local settlements. Lastly, a water carrying capacity analysis to interpret data on water recharge rate and regional water availability should be prepared. This would provide an in-depth study regarding the water table level to create an accurate understanding of the water reservoir. Infrastructure such as roads, water wells, and utility lines are important features to pinpoint so that future needs and growth can be tracked. In the past, Oroville has hired a variety of outside consultants to survey the lands for data collection. However, the accuracy and quality of the data from different consultants varies. There is also the ongoing issue with the consistent collection of metadata, making it difficult to determine whether the maps need to be upgraded. Additionally, land use mapping has been conducted in 2014 by the Puducherry State Government, including villages within the Greenbelt, such as Alankupam. This provides a reliable data source to understand land management and future growth in those villages. Moving forward, resources should be prioritized to include the land surveying of missing data needed to map demographics and infrastructure. Hiring an in-house team from the region to survey the lands may yield more accurate and thorough results. This is because they have a long-term stake in the accuracy of data collection, since the mapping of the land will influence their community. Secondly, a data checklist should be established to properly inventory and catalog existing maps and determine where more data needs to be collected. Despite having a catalog of useful maps, some key maps are incomplete or missing, such as underground infrastructure. It is imperative that Oroville prioritizes proper surveying of land to create reliable mapping. Lastly, a record of sales and transfers of land within Oroville to manage its development inventory should be established. Ambiguous ownership and division of land has led to land disputes, which are resource intensive for the land board to settle. An internal interactive map that is continually updated can show ownership status to make information on development more accessible to planners.
Understanding and building social relationships between Oroville, the surrounding townships, and external bodies is necessary to the creation of a supportive, transparent planning process. These next few solutions are practices to involve and provide opportunities for Orovillians and residents to share their comments on management of lands through a more inclusive and informed decision-making process. There are multiple organizations in Oroville dedicated to working with local voices. However, interviews stated that engagement strategies from Oroville can be improved upon, with more emphasis on more consistent communication. We recommend that a collaboration hub to be created to provide an inclusive space and central location for discussions. It serves as a central exchange of information and resources between Oroville and regional residents. Having a space that promotes shared collective knowledge will increase the level of interaction and strengthen relationships between Oroville and the surrounding townships. Another recommendation received from the interviews was the importance of taking a bottom-up approach, which focuses on collaborating with residents on the future of Oroville's Greenbelt. Therefore, Oroville should integrate residents on the work that is being done so that the plans include the inputs and insights from all Greenbelt residents. The hub then becomes a formalized point of contact to foster this bottom-up approach. Throughout our fieldwork, many different perspectives emerge on the effectiveness of Oroville's outreach activities implemented within the townships. Greenbelt residents are becoming more dependent on Oroville for economic activity and resources. Therefore, an activity impact assessment should be considered. This assessment will measure the successful activities offered by Oroville's existing outreach initiatives. The results will help Oroville determine if the activities are producing the changes they set out to accomplish. Oroville can learn and improve upon these activities due to these results. The assessment should be a collaborative effort by all parties involved in a specific activity. The perspective of the local residents are most important as they're the main users of this outreach initiative. The data gathered from each impact assessment should be analyzed, and Oroville should produce formal documents to show the impact these activities have on the townships. Successes can then be shared with other groups. As Oroville shifts from providing charity to providing asset-based development in the surrounding townships, a community asset assessment should be carried out. This assessment examines the community based on individual and collective skills and strengths, and these assets can be used to then improve economic development for the whole collective. Assets can also be in the form of personal relationships and networks. The role of Oroville then becomes that of a resource person who does not step in, but work as a connector for the Greenbelt settlements to uncover their asset potential and build long-term financially viable growth. We recommend a community asset assessment to be completed in all surrounding townships. The purpose of this assessment is to empower communities to take action on their own development by focusing on their strengths and how they can further provide sustained development. After asset assessment is completed, there should be a workshop to build community vision and plan for each township on identified strengths.
Next, I'll be speaking about environmentally based solutions. So the Greenbelt plays a critical role in providing a buffer to protect sensitive environmental areas, including the local watershed. Agriculture is also a primary land use and provides a source of food and livelihood for Greenbelt settlements. Data collection and mapping are important tools for effective environmental planning to preserve ecosystem functionality and services. Oroville has collected data on the following environmental features. Moving forward, gaps in geospatial data should be addressed by surveying land on essential environmental features, including soil quality, land contours, and biodiversity. Additionally, a weighted mapping system, which incorporates a variety of inputs to determine the value of lands for a given purpose, could be developed to prioritize their protection. For example, to identify prime agricultural lands in the Greater Golden Horseshoe, input data included current land uses, soil quality, and potential for land fragmentation. This method could be adapted to the Oroville Greenbelt context by altering the input data and the weighting as needed. If not conducted properly, agriculture has the potential to be an intensive land use that could strain the watershed, disrupt natural ecosystems, and cause land degradation. To remain a leader in environmental initiatives, Oroville should continue to demonstrate the benefits of sustainable agriculture. The local climate, soil, and topography do not provide ideal growing conditions for all crops. Oroville is self-identified as an international township, and residents and visitors enjoy international dishes, generating demand for non-indigenous crops. These crops can be more labor and resource intensive. Oroville should continue to explore opportunities to combine indigenous crops with international cuisines. This demonstrates the diverse ways that indigenous crops can be incorporated into familiar meals. Additionally, it contributes to developing a stronger market for crops that are suited to the local climate. To address the demand for non-indigenous produce, Oroville should continue to establish trade partnerships to source non-Indigenous organic crops. This would allow Oroville to satisfy demand while ensuring farming practices are efficient and environmentally sensible. The Village Outreach Group Mohanam works with youth and women in surrounding villages to promote, share, and learn the important history of local natural heritage. Additionally, Oroville Farms offer numerous training and educational programs in ecological agriculture. There is an opportunity for Oroville to increase partnership initiatives with the surrounding Greenbelt settlements to improve environmental conservation and agricultural viability for farmers. Firstly, Oroville should develop an environmental youth education plan with Greenbelt settlements. Continuing and expanding two-way educational initiatives will play an important role in ensuring Greenbelt residents and Orovillians have a strong understanding of local cultural and natural heritage. This will empower residents with the knowledge and understanding to initiate and support future environmental protection programs. It will also allow them to deepen their understanding of traditional resource management. Secondly, Oroville should continue to consult with village farmers to conduct a feasibility study on on-farm diversified uses to improve land viability. Local farming is labor and water resource intensive, primarily small scale and associated with low economic and social status. Oroville farms also struggle with viability, and some offset their expenses by conducting research, providing educational sessions, and hosting volunteers. This highlights the potential for Greenbelt farmers to improve their farm's viability. Additionally, Oroville should work with Greenbelt settlements to establish a farmers forum to facilitate collaboration. Currently, there is a lack of a consistent communication point between Greenbelt residents and Oroville. Therefore, the creation of a meeting place for Greenbelt farmers would improve the dissemination of knowledge and allow for knowledge sharing. This will also allow for farmers to share relevant agricultural knowledge and news with one another. Lastly, Oroville should develop agricultural education and training based on sustainable farming practices and farmers' self-identified needs. Sustainable approaches such as responsible land management and reduced inputs of fertilizers, pesticides, and water can have both positive environmental and economic benefits. Next, Peter will discuss evaluation.
Thank you. The proposed solutions falling under these four categories must be evaluated from both the perspective of Oroville and Greenbelt residents before they're implemented. In addition to evaluating these solutions from their own perspective, Oroville should seek to gain enough information to effectively evaluate the proposed solutions from the perspective of Greenbelt residents as well in the near future. Next, Megan will review framework implementation.
So in order for these solutions that Peter and Joanna have shared to be effective, they must be completed in a timely manner. It was noted by numerous Oroville planning experts that the time frame for creating a growth management strategy must be within the next 5 to 7 years, or by 2025 at the latest. They noted that village settlements are growing at a much faster rate compared to Oroville. Beyond the 2025 benchmark, management of growth